I know what you can do, Jim. Take those black licorice, then go get some of those red licorice. Take them in your hand, roll them up real tight.
And shove it up my butt.
Damn it, Jim! You stole my afternoons, now you stole my line. It's not shove it up your butt, it's I'll kill you! I'll kill you dead!
Gotham Sports Network presents NYG Weekly.
NYG Weekly, episode 34. You already know who it is. It's Ethan. It's Weiss. We're giving stuff away, and we'll get into it. But first, we got to take care of the housekeeping. Go follow us on Twitter. Follow me at EthanGSN. Follow Weiss at NYG Daily. Follow the blog at GothamSN. Subscribe, guys. Every subscriber helps this channel grow. Subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, and of course, Audio Boom. So go subscribe to us on those mediums so you can get the fresh episodes right to your device every time we drop a new one. Let's get to the giveaways because we got some good ones. We have our winner picked out from last week, the New York Giants tailgate football. The winner is Tani Isaac, TISAAC39 on Twitter. So congratulations to you. I hope I'm pronouncing that name correctly. We'll be DMing you to get in contact about mailing you that prize. Now, if you follow us on Twitter, you already know we're giving away the new Madden 18. It comes out. Since you're listening on a Friday, it comes out today. We are giving it away for the system of your choosing, Xbox One or PS4. The rules, same as last week. Retweet this tweet that has the episode promo, and you must be following Weiss and myself. That's all you got to do. Retweet and subscribe and follow, and you can win the new Madden 18. The winner will be picked Saturday morning. So you got to get this in now. Don't forget, we are picking the winner Saturday morning. If you have not done the following, then you're out. I'm sorry. So that's it. We're giving away Madden 18 because we're men of the people and we love giving back.
That's right.
Weiss, this was as shitty of a preseason game as I think any Giants fan could have watched. Between the injuries, the offensive line, we're going to get into all of it. First of all, how are you?
I'm doing good. Can I say one thing about Madden?
Yeah.
I have my copy, and as someone that's been highly critical of EA Sports and this Madden game for some time, this Madden game is pretty amazing.
So, guys, you're not going to want to miss out. So, enter the contest.
I'm not a video game, I don't want to say nerd, but like guru or anything, but just playing it, it's really, really fun. I recommend, hopefully, if you're listening, you win it, but if not, I recommend you go out and get it because it's a pretty sweet-ass game.
Yeah, so definitely enter the contest. What do you have to lose? We're doing it for whatever system you have, so definitely go enter. All right, let's get into preseason number two. It was gross from every perspective, between the injuries and the play of the offensive line, which we're going to get into because apparently saying Eric Flowers is the worst member of the offensive line is this preseason's hot take, and it boggles my mind how crazy some of you are. We're going to get into it. First up on the rundown, the Odell injury. Weiss, I'm going to let you start. The first thing we want to talk about, was it dirty?
Dirty. Now, I've gone back and forth with this. I've listened to a lot of opinions. I don't think it was dirty. Now, here's why. First of all, it was a legal hit. Second of all, he, as a cornerback, you're taught to go low, especially, you can't go high on a receiver. Now, I will say it was very unnecessary. I kind of tweeted this out after we sort of found out that Odell was good. I think early on when the hit took place and we kind of saw Odell go off, and we kind of saw the replay,
yep.
My initial reaction was, man, I think he blew out his ACL. Even though we saw him run into the locker room, I kind of got the feeling, okay, this could be bad. A lot of people online were kind of saying MCL, not ACL. And either way, when you see a shot like that to the knee, you're thinking
worst case scenario.
Exactly. When we got the word that it was an ankle injury, immediate reaction was, okay, maybe it's like sort of like Sterling Shepard.
Right.
It was a sprain or whatever, but we're kind of getting the sense that it's a little bit worse than that. And with week one in jeopardy, I mean, who knows? But it was an unnecessary hit, in my opinion. I mean, I think there was room there for him to just wrap Odell up and get the tackle. But in terms of it being dirty, I'm not going to go that far, unnecessary for sure. But if anybody says it was dirty, I mean, I'm not going to sit here and argue with you. But to me, you know, when it comes to the preseason, we talked about this a couple weeks ago. You have guys that are like Odell Beckham, who's just really doesn't need the preseason, but just kind of getting those reps, kind of getting that warm up to the regular season. Mm-hmm. And then you guys have, you have players like, you know, Brody Calhoun, who's sort of, you know, fighting for a roster spot. So, you know, stuff like this can happen. This is sort of the negative about preseason. But I'm going to call it an unnecessary hit, in my opinion.
I'll agree with you. When it first came onto the TV, my immediate reaction was concussion, because I wasn't even focused on the lower half, because Eli threw the ball high. When his legs got cut out from under him, his head hit the ground hard, and he did go into concussion protocol, which he passed, which is good. I wasn't even thinking ankle. Now it's like, is it high? Is it low? McAdoo says he has an ankle. Thanks, Ben. Real specific. In terms of whether or not it was dirty or not, here's the thing. It's not illegal. It's certainly not illegal. The NFL has put defensive backs in such a poor position, especially when it comes to preseason, because you can't target high, so you're either going midsection or low. And if the ball gets thrown as high as it was, bad throw by Eli, and it looked like Brody Calhoun was sort of like on his way to, he was like tripping almost a little bit if you watch the replay, he's going to go low and the legs are going to get taken out. Now, it was unfortunate timing. Now, the optics of the situation are terrible, because if you look at the other sideline, who's the defensive coordinator? Greg Williams, who was suspended by the NFL for a year because he had the Bountygate scandal down in NOLA. So,
also 2014, Odell's rookie year, the whole Rams game.
Yes, exactly. You know, with the Rams, when they were very obviously targeting him. And so the optics are bad. Do I think that Brody Calhoun meant to purposefully hurt Odell? I don't think it would be fair to say so. You don't want to see plays like that in the preseason. But like you said, it's going to happen because, one, you have guys like Brody Calhoun fighting for a roster spot. And two, just in general, defensive backs are put in such a poor position. So at the end of the day, I think we just need to be fortunate that there's no ligament damage. I think the rumor that he may miss week one is total nonsense, by the way. I think he's playing regardless of whether or not he's 100%, because even if he isn't, they'll use him as a decoy. But I would say unfortunate. I'm hesitant to say dirty. I'm hesitant to say that it was illegal. I'm just going to say that it was unfortunate and leave it at that.
Yeah, I'll agree with you. I think, you know, when you're a guy fighting for a roster spot, you want to pop out on film, and
right. That's what
pop out on film is to make a big hit,
make a key tackle.
And, you know, hypothetically speaking, let's say he slowed down and try to, you know, tackle Odell, you know, I don't want to say softly, but without taking a shot at him, and Odell broke free and scored a touchdown. Well, that wasn't going to be a good play that shows up on the film and could might as well cost, you know, the Calhoun a roster spot. We don't know, but, you know, unfortunate, unnecessary. I think we can sort of agree that it was, I'm not going to call it a dirty hit at all.
Yeah.
Although a lot of players say it was, but
yeah, you know,
it's really tough to judge.
Yeah, no, I agree. Tough to judge. Do you think he's going to miss week one?
No.
Do okay. I think
he'll be 100%? No.
So we're on the same page.
Yeah, if you remember that last year in London, Odell was coming off that game against Baltimore where he had, you know, that great game, 200 yards. But he did suffer an injury. I think it was a hip. He wasn't as effective against the Rams the next week in London. Right. But, you know, I could sort of see something similar like that against the Cowboys where he plays more of a decoy role. But I'm not counting him out for week one.
Yeah, no, me neither. Like I said, if he plays, I think it'll be more as a decoy, but you never know. Cowboys secondary is going to be so bad that, you know, he could still end up having a good game.
And they have like three players that have missed the last two. The Cowboys have three players in their secondary that has missed the last 2 weeks with hamstring injuries.
Yeah. So
keep an eye on.
No, definitely. All right, let's move on. Let's talk about the game in general. Okay. The offensive line.
One more thing about Odell.
Yes.
If you guys go back and watch those routes, he had three catches in that game. Two of those catches, he ran amazing routes.
Yeah. I mean, he's one of the best route runners in the league.
I mean, listen, it's a beautiful route that he ran. I would recommend some of you people to go back and watch it. But yeah, I just want to point that out.
Got it. Okay. Yeah. No, I agree. Let's talk offensive line. And I feel like we're going to spend a good amount of time on this topic because...
Don't we always? It's every week we talk about the offensive
line. Am I taking crazy pills here? Because all of a sudden, Giants Twitter seems to have flipped and thinks that Ereck Flowers is all of a sudden an adequate tackle over a handful of preseason snaps in which he didn't even play well. Am I crazy?
No, I think you hit the nail right on the coffin. Two adequate performances doesn't make you no longer a weak link on the offensive line.
And it's not even just being a weak link, because I would say, I would argue at this point in time, everyone on that line is a weak link with the exception of Justin Pugh. I still think Ereck Flowers is the weakest link. If you look at the plays, he wasn't credited with some pressures against him because Eli stepped up into the pocket. Yes, the interior didn't play well. But you know what? If you think that John Jerry at right guard is worse than Ereck Flowers at left tackle, go get your eyes fixed, because that is not the case. There were multiple times that Garrett beat Flowers with pure speed around the edge. There were a couple other times he got shoved right back into Eli's lap, and one that caused an incompletion. And again, there were some holding calls that didn't get called. And I know people argue, oh, Tyron Smith gets away with it all the time. Doesn't matter. People are looking for Flowers because they know he's bad, and they know that he's getting called for these holding penalties last year. There was somewhere he was literally choking Myles Garrett, had him in a chokehold. You can't have it. You can't have it. He is a weak link on this offensive line. Yes, we can beat this to death, and we will, because at the end of the day, if you look at how poorly the offense performed in the game against Cleveland, a big part of that was how bad the offensive line was. And yes, Bobby Hart stinks, and John Jerry is far from an adequate right guard, but Ereck Flowers is still so bad. And if you're going to say that John Jerry is the worst on the line, but that Ereck Flowers has improved significantly based on the same number of preseason snaps in two games, you're a hypocrite, and you're also wrong.
Yeah, I'm going to touch on this Jerry versus Flowers thing. I think it was a sort of an insane take.
Insane.
First of all, John Jerry is a very good pass-protecting guard. That he was really good last year. If you look at his scores, he was a really good pass-protecting guard last year. Now, with that said, I know Ereck Flowers is a quote-unquote good run blocker, but John Jerry's weakness, and John Jerry's weakness is run blocking, but John Jerry's pass protection is a lot better than Ereck Flowers' run blocking. So I don't know where this came from. When the game finishes, I was like, I'm going to go on the podcast. And you know what? I know everyone's going to attack Ereck Flowers, but John Jerry was horrendous in that game. And he was. John Jerry was really bad.
Correct.
And so was Weston Richburg, and so was Bobby Hart. And if I were to rank the performances from the offensive line, I'd probably go Pugh 1 and Flowers 2nd. And then Richburg 3rd and Jerry 4th and Hart 5th. But overall, the struggles of the offensive line start on the outside with the two tackles. And you can pick your poison. To some, it's Bobby Hart. To some, it's Ereck Flowers. To me, they're both equally bad, in my opinion. And, I will say Flowers has been adequate in two games. He did get away with some holding penalties. I thought Myles Garrett got away with some stuff, too, in that game. But you can't. The main concern for me when it comes to the offensive line is I think they will be adequate in pass protection overall. I think we will see some improvement in pass protection from Ereck Flowers. But overall, they are not good run blockers, the line as a whole. Individually, we can judge. But overall, they're not good at running, creating holes for the running backs. And what happens is if this team cannot run the ball, I believe they will struggle as a whole because of the ability to not have that balance. And when you have a 36-year-old quarterback who has to drop back and take hits, that's not a recipe for winning football, in my opinion. Now, to the preseason game, there were a lot of things that I liked from the offense in terms of Eli Manning, the way they were lining up Evan Engram and the way how they were moving. you know, Brandon Marshall had got a step on Joe Hayden, which I thought, you know, and it was an incomplete pass, but it was a good move that he made on Joe Hayden there. But there were some things I liked in terms of how they mixed up things. But overall, obviously, the main concern that I have is, again, they're not able to run the football. And one of the things that, if you remember 5-6 episodes ago that we talked about, I think we were kind of coming into the season, or after Brandon Marshall signed, we talked about, you know, how can they sort of help Eli? Well, number one was better pass protection. Number two was being able to run the football. And it just doesn't seem like they're able to do that. So I don't want to be like, you know, overly worried, because it is still the preseason and a lot of this stuff is still vanilla. They can still scheme around ways to sort of hide their weaknesses, their tackles. But when it's the same issues that we saw last season, it is alarming, in my opinion.
I mean, you're right. And, you know, it's a point that I've been harping on for years, and it's the fact that they don't have any elite offensive linemen. They hardly have an adequate offensive lineman. And even more concerning has been Weston Richburg's regression up the middle, because you're basically, I don't want to say you're putting Pugh on an island here, but if you had a strong right guard, then, you know, you could maybe compensate on the inside for having Weston Richburg, who's not playing up to par. If you have, you know, a very good left tackle, then that helps Justin Pugh out. There's a lot of continuity here that people aren't thinking about. And the fact that they can't run the ball, Eli is still getting rushed. I mean, last preseason, we were seeing the same issues. And I told myself, you know what? It's just preseason. It's going to get better. And you know what? It didn't. And now the next preseason, we're seeing the same thing with the same exact personnel that struggled last year. So why should I expect anything different? Because the only thing that changed is that they're going to be running 11 personnel less often this season. But how much is that going to really help the offense? Probably a decent amount. But the stat that stuck out in my mind was that Ben McAdoo said that on the Giants scored on 74% of the drives where they did not commit a negative football play. In what world is this line going to be perfect marching down an entire field? They're not. Someone's going to get penetrated and Eli's going to have to take a sack. They're going to have a run on first down for no gain or a loss. Eric Flowers is going to get called for holding. If they're scoring on 74% of drives where they didn't have a mistake, but they're still going to have that weak link on the offensive line, disaster. Because these mistakes are still going to happen.
Yeah, I think, you know, you asked about last year, this year. I think the one thing I will say is I think they do have better talent offensively.
Well, of course they do.
Yeah, they'll be able to mask some of the or hide some of the issues. But again, you know, to me, the biggest worry is the inability to run the football. I mean, if... I know people will say, well, Eli won a Super Bowl with, you know, the 32nd rate running game. Yeah, that was, what, 6 years ago?
Yeah.
You know, 6 years ago is an eternity in the NFL. So it's definitely worrisome, in my opinion. I will say that, like I said this earlier, I do think they will be better in pass protection. They will be adequate as a whole. I think they will be. Just because they'll be able to, you know, they have a blocking tight end. They have a tight end that they can get the ball out too quicker. And then, of course, the Brandon Marshall effect there as well. But, I mean, you got to be able to run the football. As great as your passing attack is, you just have to. And even, you know, on top of the fact that you have a 36-year-old quarterback, you can't have him drop back that many times. And you know, you got to be able to run the football. You just got to. And that's something that I'm very worried about when it comes to the offense, is their inability to be able to run block.
And on top of that, you know, if one of these starting offensive linemen were to go down, the Giants are even more screwed because the backups are far, far inferior to the starters, which is saying something because the starters are terrible as well. They don't have any adequate backups. So, you know,
I keep getting a lot of questions about DJ Fluker, and I want to say one thing about Fluker is I don't know what people's perception of DJ Fluker was when he signed.
Yeah.
But DJ Fluker is who he is. You know,
DJ Fluker was the Eric Flowers of the Chargers.
DJ Fluker got a one-year deal for $3 million in an offseason that saw
Okung getting like $35 million.
Yes, and one of the Khalil brothers getting $11 million a year, $55 million for wristband. So I don't know what people's opinions of DJ Fluker are. Yes, he was good in the preseason game against Cleveland, but I would really.
He's not even playing with the ones, so. Yeah,
I don't want to be the one that gives you the bad news, but DJ Fluker is not the answer to the offensive line issue.
No, not at all. All right. Before we move on to the defense, one more thing about the offensive line. Are there any other combinations that you would try to maybe minimize the liability here?
I mean, you could. I mean, I think, look, if we go into this, first of all, I think you and I can agree that the starting five that we've seen so far, that's going to be the starting five week one.
Yes.
That Flowers, Pugh, Richburg, Jerry, Hart.
Yep.
Pending, you know, an injury, that's going to be the five.
Mm-hmm.
I think they are going to be on a shorter leash. I think if you'll see if they are struggling early, I think, you know, we could see some changes. And what those changes are, I don't know. But this isn't going to be a situation where, you know, they're going to allow Eric Flowers to be a liability, or they're going to allow Bobby Hart to be a liability and just go with it. I think you will see a change sometime during the season, if it's week 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, I don't know. But I think the five that we see now, that's going to be the five week one. But I think the leash is going to be much shorter than what people expect. Now, the changes that we could see, you know, could you see Pugh bounce outside to left tackle? That's the one everyone's talking about.
Can I differ there a little bit?
Sure.
I think we're going to need to move him out to right tackle.
Pugh to right tackle. Who's going to be your left guard?
That's the issue. Fluker, maybe. It's tough because if you look at who Bobby Hart's going to have to face on the right side, he's got the AFC West and he's got the division opponents total of six times. He's going to struggle because he's just as bad as Flowers is. And I think Flowers was so bad last year, it sort of like masked how bad Hart actually is. And I mean, he's going to have to go up against, you know, Justin Houston. He's going to have to go up against Joey Bosa, Khalil Mack, Brandon Graham. He's going to be going up against these elite speed rushers. And I think Justin Pugh is just more equipped to handle that. And
yes, this question.
Okay.
In terms of the offensive line, do you think that they will be, is this who the offensive line is? Or do you think we'll see, I'm not going to say improvement, but we're going to see a more adequate offensive line as a whole during the season? Will the blocking be much better during the season when they're able to scheme around these things and when, you know, hopefully some guys play much better than what they are playing right now?
Well, that's the thing, because we have to differentiate here between actual talent level and how well Ben McAdoo can scheme around that weakness. Because if we're talking just specifically about scheming around the weakness, then sure, they're going to be better than they were last year because they have three very good tight ends, in my opinion, this year. And they have Brandon Marshall and Shane Vereen is healthy. So I think they'll do a better job of scheming around this deficiency. But if we're talking solely from a skill level, you know, they are who we thought they were. This offensive line stinks. Doesn't matter if they had a full season last year, and it doesn't matter that Eric Flowers looks more agile this offseason, and it doesn't matter that Weston Richburg got the ligament repaired in his thumb. They were bad last year. They look bad this preseason. They're going to be bad in this regular season, and they have to go up against some pretty good defenses. The only hope is that Ben McAdoo can successfully scheme around it.
You know, I think the one thing about – I'm not worried about Richburg and Pugh. I think they're going to be good when the season comes around. They're proven players, and they're good at their position. But I fear that, you know, we talk about father time with Eli Manning. I think father time has caught up with John Jerry. He is up there in age, and I think he might be a guy that loses a step this season. And given the fact that he was never really a good player. He was just an okay player. I think he could go from okay to bad, and that could be even worse, the offensive line.
I mean, it's like...
I mean, he ain't young. John Jerry's old.
You're talking about father time with John Jerry. I mean, this is the same applies to Eli Manning. You had one of the worst offensive lines in the NFL last year, probably second to the Vikings offensive line. And Eli has the longest active start streak for a quarterback. He's never missed a game in his entire career. And you basically put him behind one of the worst offensive lines in the league last year. That's like what Jerry Reese did, and granted, it was a weak market, but this goes back more than just this year. It goes back to last year and the year before that and the year before that. Was last season, Jerry Reese went to Vegas and put his life savings on the roulette table on double zero green and hit. And now he's doubling down on the same double zero green this year. You know, I don't want to put some bad ideas in people's heads, but you're putting Eli, 36, aging behind one of the worst offensive lines in the league. Listen, it wouldn't surprise me if he got banged up this year. That's all I'm saying. I'm officially nervous that, you know, some speed rusher gets around Flowers on the blind side, or, you know, both Hart and Flowers, and he gets sandwiched. He took some bad hits last year, and the fact that he was able to survive is downright miraculous.
That one hit he took against Washington was out.
Yeah. The one that I posted yesterday against Dallas was bad.
Yeah, that was bad. I don't know what that... Eric Flowers was. I was speechless looking at that play.
Yeah,
I looked at it and I was like, "Oh my God, why did he post this?"
Yeah. sorry to trigger you.
Listen, when it comes to the offensive line, you and I both agree it's all blind hope.
Yeah,
you gotta hope. You mean adequate is the key word here. I think that's all we're asking for.
Yeah,
an adequate offensive line. Okay, you'll make mistakes. That's fine. But can we see more, consistent, adequate performance? Can we say something like that?
I would even say consistent, mediocre performance.
Yeah.
I mean, as bad as it sounds, it's all we need.
Yeah. I mean, you got to hope somebody pops up on the waiver wire.
Praying that there's some veteran cut that can come in and make this line immediately better.
You know, you wrote a nice article the other day that I looked at, talked about different combinations and options. I think.
Yeah.
And one thing we can take off the table is the Browns are not trading Joe Thomas.
No, correct. He's not.
Yeah, they invested money into their offensive line. They're not going to trade Joe Thomas. We can get that out of the way. People can stop asking about that. Brandon Albert. But he wasn't really good last year.
He was worse than Flowers last year.
Yeah. So again, you can see what the market has, and a guy like Joe Staley, I mean, who knows? He could be. It's kind of been quiet there. Maybe San Francisco's asking for too much. I don't know. We haven't really heard anything on that end, but I mean, man, it's. I mean, you try looking. I mean, Will Beatty's getting tryouts.
Yeah.
I mean, it's getting really, really bad. When first of all, I think that there's not a lot of good offensive lines in the NFL right now.
Correct.
I don't think
they're hard to come by.
Because Greg Robinson, who is, in my opinion, a draft bust, was let go by the Rams and now is in Detroit and is about to start a left tackle. We talked about the guys that got paid this offseason. I mean, outside for maybe like 5-6 teams, I would say there's a lot of teams, and Giants included, that are in the same bubble in terms of the offensive line. I mean, I think there's a lot. There are teams that can at some days look good, and some days look really, really bad.
Yeah.
And I think the Giants are right in that bubble. But it's just, you got to just pray, man. That's all we can do. I mean,
blind hope.
We can throw hypotheticals out there. I don't even think the Giants know what to do. I don't think they have a plan B.
No, they don't, because their backups are even worse.
They don't. I mean, they're hoping that someone can kind of show up. I think they were kind of hoping that maybe.
A waiver wire cut.
Yeah, but I think they came into training camp with the hope that maybe, you know, one of their two tackles can improve. We haven't seen that yet.
Right.
It's really, really, really worrisome. You know, I'm not in full panic mode, but just looking at the last two games as a whole, not individually, as a whole, it's scary, man. And I don't think the team really has a plan B. I think this is the only plan. And if worst case scenario comes around, then they'll make a move that will probably, in terms of shuffling the offensive line, that will be tough to. I don't know if the change that they make will make a difference.
Yeah. But
these guys are who they are at this point.
No, I agree 100%.
Luckily, the people that are already looking ahead, the 2018 draft class for offensive linemen is very strong.
Nice. That's good, at least.
That's something that I picked up on reading up on the college football season.
Yeah. All right. let's move on to the defensive side of the ball, because at least we can be very positive there. I'm going to let you start and take it away, because I mean, there's just like a lot to like. I mean, you know, they say iron sharpens iron. I don't know what kind of iron the defensive line is using to sharpen themselves, but they look even better than they did last year. You got Olivier Vernon covering tight ends 20 yards down the field. You got both him and JPP getting penetration. The backups look amazing. Aquara, Wynn, they look great. I'm not worried about depth at all. What did you like on the head? Yeah.
You got OV covering David Njoku, who's the most athletic tight end that we've seen in some time down the field. You got JPP, you know, even though the fireworks accident kind of, you know, derailed some part of his career, but he's still getting interceptions, you know. And how about BJ Goodson?
He looks unbelievable.
He looks
young Antonio Pierce on the spot.
I don't want to like, you know, kind of get overhyped, but because it's only a preseason, but man, he looks really good. He looks like a three down sideline to sideline linebacker. You hear the stuff he says. Not only does he sound like a middle linebacker,
yeah,
he's like a leader of the defense.
Yeah.
And we've got a defense that has Snacks Harrison, Landon Collins, OV, JPP. For a guy that's coming in his first year starting, second year in the league, and for him to say the stuff that he says and garner that leadership, I mean, that is amazing. And let me tell you something, man. He can fly and he can get to the quarterback. And
yeah,
we talk about what's that next step. Well, this was that next step. They have an all-pro on the defensive line in Harrison.
Mm-hmm.
They have an all-pro in that secondary with Landon Collins. And they have really good players around that. The one weakness that they had was the linebacker spot. And if BJ Goodson, who we both agree is the real deal, if he can play at a very high level, man, this might be the best defense in football if it's not already.
Yeah, there's really not much more I can say. I mean, you nailed it. He looks great. The secondary looks good as always. We saw some Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie at safety, which was interesting. Maybe like an age thing, just, you know, if in the event they need to move him back there at some point, just to keep him fresh. That was interesting. Backup cornerback Dante Dion had an unreal pick that got called back due to a holding on the defense, but it wasn't him. He looked great. This defense has the ability to be the best defense in football. You're absolutely right. And, you know, as bad as the offensive line is, and listen, the Giants went 11-5 last year on the back of Odell Beckham Jr. and that defense. If that defense can beat somehow be even better than last year, then I am once again confident in the Giants to dominate, because they do have to face some pretty good defenses this year. But I'm not at all worried about the defense in any capacity.
Here's the thing. We talk about the pass rushers that the Giants offensive line is going to face, but the Giants defense, they're not facing that sort of tier one quarterback.
Right.
Listen, they're facing Dak twice and, you know, Carson Wentz and Kirk Cousins. Other than that, they got Stafford, Winston, Rivers. Who's starting for Denver? Trevor Siemian.
Yep.
They got Russell Wilson, Jared Goff. I don't know who's starting it for San Francisco. Alex Smith, Derek Carr, and Carson Palmer. You know.
Yeah, that's you know, there's no Brady or Rodgers in there.
Exactly. And there's no Brady, there's no Rodgers, there's no Breeze, there's no Luck. So you're looking at that schedule, and who's the best quarterback that they're facing? Russell Wilson at home.
Yeah.
You know, it's not even in Seattle. It's at home. Possibly, you know, do you think that Jameis sort of becomes that great quarterback, you know, in Tampa? Phillip Rivers, Stafford. I mean, they are not facing an elite quarterback. I'm not going to say they're not facing an elite quarterback. They're not facing that sort of tier one guy who can beat you by himself, the Rodgers, the Brady, the Breeze. They're facing – or Roethlisberger. They're facing sort of guys that – you know, you look at that schedule, I mean, it is definitely, in my opinion, in their favor going up against some of these quarterbacks for the defense. They showed what they can do against Kirk Cousins last year in Week 17. Carson Wentz, I mean, I don't think he's going to be elite this year. I mean, Dak Prescott, you know, we'll see what he can do. But, you know, the best quarterback, in my opinion, the Giants will face is Russell Wilson. And that's not going to be until October, and it's going to be at home.
Yeah.
And same thing with Rivers. They're not going to L.A.
He's coming here.
Yes. You know, so Derek Carr, but that's going to be in Oakland. But, you know, again, it's definitely in their favor overall in terms of some of these quarterbacks they're facing.
No, you're 100% right. And that defense is our beacon of hope, because, you know, if the offensive line still struggles, at least we can at least keep the games low scoring. Back to the offense real quick. Quarterback two battle.
Yes.
Geno, man, I never thought in a million years I'd fall in love with Geno. As mediocre as he's been this preseason, I just love watching him play. I think he
looks really comfortable.
He looks so comfortable in this offense. He's not bombing it out downfield. Yes, he's had like one or two gaffes in the red zone, but you know what? He's still learning the offense, and he's coming off an ACL surgery. Watching him run play action out of this offense and watching him scramble as the offensive line collapses around him, it's like a treat to watch. And it makes you wonder like how shitty things were across in the Jets locker room, because you know, if you just surround him with some adequate pieces, he could be like a quality quarterback. And I know everyone was rolling their eyes when Ben McAdoo said that, who knows, maybe Geno is Eli's replacement. I don't think that's the case, especially because I do expect Eli to play for a few more years. But this is a really, really good dress rehearsal for Geno to come out here and show that he can run this offense. And then he's only on a 1-year deal. So if he wants after this, he can go compete for a starting job elsewhere, because God knows this league needs some competent quarterback play. And I think I'm happy for him. I think he's doing a great job. And hey, if he wanted to come back and back up Eli again next year, I'd welcome it in a heartbeat.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I think Geno, all he needs is a good offensive minded coach, a good quarterback coach. I can sort of teach him the fundamentals. I think he's made some mental mistakes.
Yep.
I don't know why the media sort of still thinks this is a quarterback competition.
It's not. It's Geno.
I think Geno has the spot locked up. We saw sort of, I mean, you don't have to be like a coach to see how much better Geno looks than Josh Johnson. And I don't think Davis Webb is ready to be a quarterback two in this league yet. But man, Geno does look good. I sort of wish he didn't throw that interception, kind of finished off that.
Yeah.
Drive. Because if he would have, I mean, it would have been locked up. Geno was exciting. But I'm anxious to see him this weekend against the Jets, against his former team. Hopefully he's able, the backup offensive line can sort of keep him upright and he can make some throws and eliminate some of the mental mistakes. But, man, some of the stuff that's written about Geno, about how he's, you know, playing for his career, I don't think that's the case.
Not the case at all.
Geno has a spot in this league. Listen, look, I'm not comparing him to Eli Manning, but we've kind of seen Eli make some of these boneheaded throws in the red zone and throw an interception. So, you know, Geno does it, and it's, oh, my God, he doesn't deserve to be in the league. I think adequate coach, some pieces around him, a real opportunity to start. And, well, it's not here, but definitely you see him in the preseason. He looks really comfortable, really good. And if he can eliminate 3 or 4 plays, then he probably, if you eliminate 3 or 4 plays in this preseason, you can definitely see how good Geno looks.
Absolutely. We're on the same page there. Preseason game 3 dress rehearsal. Let's talk about that.
The MetLife Bowl.
The MetLife Bowl, the Snoopy Bowl for the Snoopy.
Bowl anymore. They call it the MetLife Bowl.
Is it the MetLife Bowl? Whatever. They might as well call it the Giants Bowl. It's our stadium. What are you looking for? The Jets are a dumpster fire, so I think this is a really good opportunity for the Giants' first-team offense to get something going here.
Actually, the Jets, yes, they're a dumpster fire offensively, but their defense is quietly going to be good. I think so. I think their defense is going to be good.
Okay.
They got a good defensive line. Leonard Williams, Mo Wilkerson, Sheldon Richardson. I am looking forward to seeing, again, the offensive line versus the Jets' defensive line. I'm looking forward to watching Jamal Adams. I was a huge Jamal Adams
fan. Yeah, me too.
I'm looking forward to seeing him. Defensively for the Giants, I don't think some of these guys should even play. I mean, you know, what happened with Odell? I mean, I don't think we should see Landon Collins that much. I don't think we should see him that much. JPP, I don't think we should see that much. Hopefully they can avoid injury, but they ain't going to learn much about the defense this weekend going against the Jets.
Yeah. I got a 2-part question for you, actually.
Oh, sure.
Do we think Brandon Marshall plays?
No.
Okay. Do you think that he gets into it with Sheldon Richardson anyway?
No.
Okay.
Brandon's kind of taking the high road in all this.
Was it Sheldon Richardson or Mo Wilkerson that was talking shit?
Sheldon Winston.
Okay.
Yeah. No, I don't think Brandon's above all that at this point in his career. He's in a better place.
Way better place.
And Sheldon, it's kind of weird because Sheldon got yelled at by his coach.
Yeah.
Talking about Brandon Marshall. So, no, I don't think we'll see a Rex Ryan, Brandon Jacobs, you know.
Yeah. Shut your fat ass up.
Yeah, I don't think we'll see anything like that. But I don't think we'll see. We're definitely not going to see Odell. Not going to see Brandon Marshall. We're not going to see Tavares King. We're not going to see Dwayne Harris. I don't think. So it's a big opportunity for Roger Lewis. Big, you know, everyone's been talking about this guy, Travis Rudolph. Big opportunity for him. I don't even know who the other receivers are.
Tavares King, Roger Lewis. They cut Darius Powell, which was a surprise.
It's the bodies game here. His hamstring injury was
going
to be not a long-term thing, but it was going to be a week-to-week type thing.
Right.
They needed receivers. So big opportunity, man, for Roger Lewis.
Absolutely.
Big opportunity for Travis Rudolph. Big opportunity for some of these guys to make plays, and we'll see what they can do. I don't even know which other receivers they have.
Yeah.
They got Odell.
Dwayne Harris some action.
Dwayne Harris might not even play either.
Okay.
Practice all week. So no Dwayne Harris, no Tavares King.
Damn.
You got Roger Lewis, you got Sterling Shepard, and you got Travis Rudolph.
Yeah.
I don't know who else.
I mean, they brought in a couple guys. I think one was from the Steelers, and I don't remember where the other one was from. Maybe the Bengals. But it's gonna be a who's who at wide receiver on Saturday.
That's why I'm starting to think that maybe we'll only see Eli Manning for a half.
Yeah,
not a half, but
less.
Yeah, maybe like a quarter, and a half, because they really don't have any receivers out there, and definitely not going to be a game where you can expect the Giants' offense to be moving the ball up and down the field. In my opinion, they might score a touchdown, but man, they are really, really short on the receivers in this game.
Yeah. Definitely.
If they can get the run game going.
Maybe. And it would be great against this defensive front.
Yes.
All right. Let's finish up with news and nonsense, because I feel like every time, I feel like we're just going to make this a regular thing, because every time I'm like, all right, that's it. And then you stop me to talk about something else. So what's on your mind this week?
Okay. So I don't know if you know, but former Redskins GM Scott McLaughlin.
Yeah.
I used to call him McLaughlin. Don't feel bad.
Okay.
he's on Twitter now.
Yes.
And he always answers a lot of questions from people. And he was asked about Landon Collins. Mm-hmm. Years ago when the Giants traded up to get Bama safety Landon Collins, where was he next on your board? And he says he was. And I kind of made that.
Wow.
Come on, dude. Like, now you want to say that?
Yeah.
I mean, come on. You were right there to pick him. He didn't. There were talks. Didn't the Redskins took Sheriff that year over Leonard Williams?
Yeah.
Talks in the Redskins market, they were going to trade back to get Landon Collins. Or not Landon Collins, but to get the other safety that went to the Packers. What's his name? I'm blanking on his name. Something Randall.
Demarius.
Yes. And I'm kind of looked at that like, come on, man. Like, you know.
Yeah, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But other than that, some other stuff. I mean, you want to talk about Colin Kaepernick for a second? This is sort of a very touchy subject.
Yeah, and I don't mind talking about it because I've been pretty outspoken about it on Twitter.
Yes.
And the argument is very simple. Colin Kaepernick is better than every single backup quarterback in the NFL.
Including Geno Smith and Josh Johnson.
Correct. Colin Kaepernick is better than a few starters in the NFL.
There are seven teams that Colin Kaepernick can be a starter on right now, and I can name them for you right now.
Go for it.
First of all, the Denver Broncos.
Yes.
If he goes to Denver, Denver is a legitimate contender to win the AFC because the offense that they run fits what Colin Kaepernick's strengths are. That is number one. Number two, the Cleveland Browns.
Yep.
Hugh Jackson wanted them a couple years ago, but obviously now doesn't. We know why. Third, the Chicago Bears.
Yep.
Mitch Trubisky looks good in preseason, but I don't think he's ready to start right away. So the Chicago Bears. Fourth, let me get this list because I had it.
Jacksonville,
yes. That was one of the teams on my list. He could definitely be a starter in Jacksonville. He's better than Chad Henne. He's better than Blake Bortles.
Yep.
And the team that cut him, San Francisco,
San Francisco,
he could start for them as well.
Absolutely.
And seventh, even though I like their quarterback that they drafted, Deshaun Watson, he could start in Houston right now and also make that team a legitimate contender in the AFC.
Did you mention the Jets?
And the New York Jets. That was actually number 3 on my list.
There you go.
He could start in the New York Jets.
So, so you just listed the teams, and there are a few different angles people take. People say, you know, it's not good for business. That's bullshit. Because that poll that was released about people not watching NFL games anymore because of the national anthem was flawed. You do a 5-second Google search, you can pull up the actual data, and I don't have it off the top of my head because I didn't know this was going to be brought up, but it was like the big line that everyone was going was, oh, 26% of people surveyed. It was 26% of people surveyed out of like 9,000 said that they were watching less, and of those 26%, like another 3% of that small sample size said that it was because of the national anthem thing. So minuscule, and he'd be good for business because his jersey was top 20 in sales, even though he wasn't on a goddamn roster. So if you sign him, you're selling mad merch. So yeah, it's financially profitable. And can we get this he's a distraction in the locker room out of the way, please? Because the fact that people think that Colin Kaepernick is the only one with a controversial political view in the NFL boggles my fucking mind. Because, and you can look inside the Giants' own locker room. Justin Pugh was a Donald Trump supporter. Did you see any other player making a fuss about it or saying that he didn't want to sit next to Pugh or didn't want to play with him? No. People inside NFL locker rooms, they are grown men. They are adults. They know how to put their politics aside to get on the field and play because it is a business and it is their profession. And if you think that Colin Kaepernick taking a knee is going to somehow negatively affect the team, you're wrong and you're just buying into this bullshit media narrative. Look at the Browns the other day. Hugh Jackson specifically told the team not to kneel, and they had a handful of players kneeling on the sideline. It's happening all over the NFL, not just with Colin Kaepernick, and people are using him as the scapegoat.
Yeah, I mean, look, you know, regardless what your opinion is, I think, and I'm not going to make this into a political blog or political podcast, but there's some serious issues in this country. I think we've seen it over the past couple weeks. Mm-hmm. There's some serious stuff going on, and it's definitely concerning. Especially if you're a minority like me, or you, for example, as well.
With yeah. Your
what Colin Kaepernick did, I looked at it more of the message, not the way the message was delivered.
Right.
What he stands for and where he sort of put his money where his mouth is, I applaud that. And many people will, you know, curse at me or say something to me, but I stand with Colin Kaepernick. I believe what he's doing, you know, is great. I think he's educating people around the country. He's helping people. That is something that we should celebrate because he's doing something, you know, that is good. He's teaching people, and people will go to the Fidel Castro shirt and people will go to the socks that he wore. And I'm not here to defend that. I think throughout this year, has Colin Kaepernick done things that are offensive? Yes. Are one of those things kneeling for the national anthem? To me, no. I applaud what he's doing in terms of football. I mean, you can't tell me with a straight face that Colin Kaepernick is not better than any of the quarterbacks on the New York Jets roster right now. You cannot tell me that. If you tell me that, you're just ignorant in all.
You just facts. Don't know football.
Yeah, in all. I'm not, because that's what I'm saying. You're ignorant in all facts, not just
yep.
football and everything. You can't tell me Colin Kaepernick is not better than any quarterback on the Cleveland Browns right now. You can't tell me that Colin Kaepernick is not better than Trevor Siemian and Paxton Lynch. You can't. And I don't want to hear.
And can I add a caveat into that? Because I feel like I don't want people to nitpick what you're saying, because you're right. He is better than a lot of the quarterbacks and could play for a lot of the teams that you're mentioning. Now, not every situation is going to be right. Now, could he maybe back up a Deshaun Watson or back up a Deshaun Kaiser? Yes. There are still teams like the Jacksonville Jaguars where he could come in, make an immediate impact, and make that team relevant in their own division. So, yes, he is definitely better than a lot of these people. The situation might not always be perfect, but there are some ideal situations for Colin Kaepernick.
Absolutely. And I will say this about money. That's sort of where
sure.
everyone kind of, again, brings up that reason to make an excuse for what their real reason is as to why they don't want Colin Kaepernick in the NFL. Colin Kaepernick has not discussed money with any team in the NFL. He's had conversations. I think he tried out for the Seahawks, and he didn't get signed, but their quarterback said, we didn't sign him because we think he's a starting quarterback in the NFL, which is sort of weird to me. But anyways, he sort of was in contact with Baltimore, but Baltimore sort of said their owner kind of made some weird
statements.
About, you know, pray for us or something like that. I don't know what that means. They also said, well, we're not. They also made it seem that Joe Flacco's injury was a short-term thing. We're now four weeks into training camp in the preseason, and Joe Flacco is yet to practice. Another team that I think Colin Kaepernick could work in is in Indianapolis. Andrew Luck has not practiced football. Two new receivers. He's on PUP. Their backup is Scott Tolzien and Stephen Morris.
Yeah.
Unless you went to the university, unless you are a Miami Hurricane fan, you don't know who Stephen Morris is.
Yeah.
Listen, I think he deserves to be on the roster. I think it's a bad look for the NFL that he's not on there. I applaud all these guys that are, you know, protesting. This is a peaceful protest. The message that they're trying to send, I completely understand it because I understand that there are serious issues in this country. Again, if he offended you, I'm not here to tell you that it's not, that you shouldn't be offended, and I'm not here to tell you that, you know, I'm not trying to get in the political argument with you.
Yeah.
Speaking purely of his message and purely of his on the football field, there are people in the league right now that don't deserve to be in the league because they have done things that would get them fired in the real world. Colin Kaepernick stood up for something, was courageous, and you can ask people in that San Francisco 49er locker room about it. I mean, come on, you know? Sometimes we just got to be real with ourselves.
I mean, at the end of the day, it's how much do you care about winning? Obviously not enough if you're not willing to put him on your team if you know for a fact that he can help.
And you know what? I didn't want to go here, but I will go here. If you love the national anthem, I think we all have a special sentiment toward the national anthem.
Sure.
Everyone in their own way. But if all these people that are, you know, sort of patriots and are offended by Colin Kaepernick, if you're so offended by Colin Kaepernick, and him kneeling for the national anthem, you shouldn't be watching football then, because the NFL, the owners, took money from the...
Yeah, for advertising for the military.
So if you're mad at Colin Kaepernick for no patriotism, but yet you're still watching and still buying tickets, even though the NFL did what we call paid patriotism, where they paid to be patriots in honor the military and stuff like that, you sort of look like a hypocrite.
Right.
But again, everyone has their own opinion. That is my opinion. I think he deserves to be in the league. I think he deserves to be competing for a starting job. And opting out of the San Francisco deal is another thing I've heard a lot. He was going to get cut regardless. John Lynch told him that in his meeting with Colin Kaepernick. We're not going to pay you at $14 million. He opted out because he wanted to get a jump start on free agency.
Yeah.
And if Mike Glennon is making $10 million and getting $18 million guaranteed, it's a damn shame that Colin Kaepernick can't get a job in the NFL.
Mm-hmm. We're on the same page.
Yep.
All right. Anything else?
I think we covered it all.
All right.
We went from the Giants offensive line and ended, came full circle all the way back to Colin Kaepernick.
Yes, just like we planned.
You sort of tackled that issue.
Yes.
And took care of it. So it was good. Hopefully we can have more of these discussions throughout the course of the season. We can touch on what's going on around the league.
Yeah, I would love to. All right, guys, subscribe, iTunes, Audioboom, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, retweet, enter the contest. If you want Madden, it's out today. We'll get you a free copy. Enter the contest. Winners pick Saturday morning. Peace.
Peace.